from the Earth itself, the 4 inches, are really assigned to a nighttime consumption. And from 4 inches up to what is called a stock level is middle of the day.
You know, I've seen you use the whole cabbage. Are you saying that you should not use the whole cabbage?
You can and you cannot.
But in this case...
Generally, you use the whole thing
in around the full moon time. But if you want to serve strictly without having to consume it all the time, you take the tops and serve it in the middle of the day for 21 days. That's just to maintain the acid-alkaline balance too. So I use it periodically to have both tops and bottoms. Now in the nighttime, I use the bottoms, and I usually, most of the month, use the bottoms at night. But around full moon, we switch it around to compensate, because you want to stabilize. So it's not a total month like that. It is a variation. You have to know the difference between lunar and solar, and not all 28 days are lunar, and not all 28 days are solar. You must be able to shift it. You must understand the time lapse. So food, per se, if you don't want to deviate, so you want to stay strictly solar, you'll only end up, after 28 days, you'll notice a strange thing. You will want to go back to that lunar section. And this is very valid. Billy was like that. He says, I can't seem to get away. And I said, Billy, lunar nutrition is valid only for 7 days. He says, thank God, I can eat it. And so he has his lunar eating every 28 days within those 7 days, and the rest of the time he's strictly, strictly solar. And Billy is tremendously developing himself now. His health is unusual for what he's... His whole lifestyle has changed, because he begins to see it for the first time. But if you cannot get seaweed, and most people don't like the taste of seaweed until they begin to work with it, so the bottoms of the vegetables, the hard stalk level, have a certain percent of iron. Use it at night. Then that's where the cabbage, the cauliflower, and the broccoli have an asset. It
takes iron and iodine to make the fruit rigid, I guess, or strong.
Okay, we got that, Karen. So iodine is best utilized at night. Too much of it in the middle of the day in the foods that produce it are not ideal. A little.
And the root needs the iodine to protect the bugs. The
exactly,
germs
for sure.
That
do.
Area too, that's where
so that's why you have it periodically. If you're taking it in the middle of the day, don't take seaweed iodine. Take the other one from the stalk of the cauliflower, or the cabbage, or the broccoli.
Doesn't soy sauce have iodine?
Soy sauce has iodine, yes, but soy sauce is fermented.
But I mean, that's a good source of it, right?
It is yes. Preparation changes the reaction from positive, negative to neutral. You must know the differences of these things and the compensations. Otherwise, if everything is strictly acid or alkaline, there will be no compensation at all in this universe. So nature made certain things to be totally neutral, no matter how, whatever you do to it. Whatever you put into your body, it has no reaction other than to do what? Act as a stabilizer. Activate with other foods.
Is alkaline a negative or a positive? Reaction.
They're binder foods.
Alkaline?
Yeah.
Depends when you take it. Also, if it's sake. Or
remember what you just said in your question.
I'm asking whether alkaline is a positive reaction or a negative reaction. I'm just wondering about the positive or negative. Because I know you refer to that about a lot of things.
An acid food is definitely a positive reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And an alkaline food is definitely a negative reaction. That's why it's 20-80.
No, No, you said you want to be 80% of the time alkaline.
That's what I said.
You said
an acid food is positive.
Right.
An alkaline food is 80. That's why it is is negative. That's why it's 20-80. An acid food is positive. An alkaline food is negative. That's why it's 20-80.
You want 20% negative and... 80% negative and 20% positive?
Yes. Your atoms in the sky is 80% negative and 20% what? Positive.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got others. We'd be burning away. We wouldn't be here to talk to each other. Your atom bomb, Mr. Hugo, is it a negative charge after it explodes, or is it a positive charge when it explodes?
What negative
is
it? Charge.
It's releasing electrons, so it would be splitting the atom.
It's a cold reaction. I remember you said that one time. Frigidity implosion.
I think you're releasing positive ions.
You're releasing positive ions in order to cause the negative ones to do what? Start cooking. And if they start cooking, what's going to happen to us in the universe?
Cook up pretty quick.
What happens is you release the positive ions in order to create a battery with the negative.
Do you answer your question?
Say that again.
When you split the atom, which is what is done in an atom bomb, you're splitting the nucleus, which is positive. The electrons going on the outside and they're negative.
Is the electrons more around the proton in a normal atom, or are they less in a normal atom that hasn't been split?
The same. Electrons and protons are balanced. They've got to be to have the charge. In an unstable element...
Well, how come now? Keep talking.
Okay, the atom bomb, is they're working with an unstable element, so they're not balanced. I don't know which way they are.
Name one atom where one protein and one electron exist.
Name one atom with one proton
and one
electron.
Hydrogen.
Hydrogen.
All right. If you split the hydrogen, what do you think is going to happen to it now? Yeah. It's 1-to-1. They originally they phase each other on a 1-to-1.
Uh-huh.
Split them, what we got?
We've got a proton and an electron.
And what's going to happen to the electron?
Well, it's going to go hunt for another positive charge to bind with.
And therefore, that's what you call what?
That's fusion.
Chain reaction?
Oh, okay. You've released a positive and a negative, and they're both going to go hunt for another one. So you started it.
Or it has to bump another one out of position. Is that the idea?
Keep talking. I'm listening to you for this talk.
Never realized how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to bump until finally one doesn't get bumped, and that's when it stops. If one, theoretically, if it always would bump every one, there would be
keep
no
talking,
universe
I'm
left.
Listening.
It'd go on forever and ever.
Yeah, there
keep
would be
talking,
no universe.
I'm listening.
That's the danger. I was saying,
you
even worried about it at first, I believe.
So you see, the danger is making electrons into protons by depriving them of their common bond. That would happen if you separate them and don't contain them.
If you separate a proton from an electron from a proton, the electron you're saying is takes on a positive charge?
You're sooner or later going to start developing. You're not going to get no empty area to put it in.
What makes the electron change charge from negative to positive?
Well, there's a ion leaves negative charge and become positive. What, for you or me?
I didn't think it changes the charge.
Don't be surprised, man.
Yeah, there's negative and positive ions.
Yeah, I know,
so
but what you have is an electron, and it has a negative charge. It's a negative ion. Right.
It will change into a positive ion.
when it'll change into a positive ion when it splits from the it splits from the neutron, the proton.
It will.
Will we see that in all cases?
99% of the time, no. Only 1% of the time. And that is the danger. Now, for that reason, the creative intelligence could not use hydrogen as a life-sustaining element for the body. It chose which gas to be a life-sustaining.
Oxygen.
Now, in the terms of oxygen, what's the ratio it uses to sustain the life in the body? 1-to-1 or 2-to-1?
4-to-1.
Oh. H2O, that was right. I can't remember the atomic number. I think it's
32.
I think it's 32. It's 16, so it would be the 8. 8 electrons.
Numerical value is very, very accurate. Otherwise, we don't have anything here to live by. That's the reason why all your scientists and all your philosophers end up saying God geometrizes. Creative intelligence is mathematics. There's no room for what?
Yes, we're
good. But only 99% of the time. Why? If it could do it 100%, we would be back where we started. Nothing would change.
So what it is the 1% is what is the rubbing in order to create change.
The 1% is the random fixation that threatens repetition all the time in terms of sequence. Basically, we must function sequentially, repetitiously, in order to have some semblance of existence. But monotony would result in self-deterioration, destructiveness. Yeah. So, by the random effect reserved as the unexpected possible elevation, this triggers the uniqueness of the principle to a better model of itself.
That's the time we have the gifts of the spirit.
Right. So to use a gas for a cellular organism to survive in terms of timing, to maintain a situation called health, it cannot use hydrogen, it cannot use carbon, it cannot use nitrogen. It would have to use what?
Oxygen.
Then oxygen is the only gas has what? Multiple combinations with the rest or singular combinations with the rest?
Multiple.
And it starts off with hydrogen in what combination?
Hydrogen?
Mm-hmm.
H2, two hydrogens to one oxygen.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
It puts the hydrogen to do what?
Takes two hydrogens to balance out one oxygen.
Good.
Because evidently the oxygen must have two more electrons floating around its outer ring. And so the hydrogen has to have two of them in order to balance it out.
Good. Then let's take nitrous oxide. That's nitrogen and oxygen.
Okay, that would be, let's see, how does that work? It's N2O.
Nitrogen.
It's NO2.
Ha ha ha.
That's the opposite way.
That's the total opposite, right?
Right. So that means the nitrogen has two more electrons in its outer ring than the oxygen.
That's laughing gas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now let's see carbon, though.
Well, it's CO2, that's the same way as the nitrogen.
What is the deciding factor between the three combinations?
The two.
If CO2 opposes H H2O.
What causes that?
But we don't say C2O and H2O.
A charge.
What have we got? H2O or N2O or CO2?
You're saying what happens if you have CO2 and H2O combined?
No, no.
They oppose one another.
What would oppose each other?
What would oppose each other if you had
H2O would be opposed by what?
CO2.
Why should it be opposed?
H2O must have an opposing combination to have a stability. What combination do you think is going to be that?
Probably carbon dioxide.
In order to balance out H2O, you want to know what combination is going to balance that out?
Yeah. Between the NO and the CO.
You're going to have two molecules of water to balance out one molecule of CO2. Okay, if you're talking about balancing out the oxygens, but you're also going to need carbon. You're also going to need the reaction would be carbon acting on two molecules of water would give you carbon dioxide and two hydrogens, two H2s.
Well, CO2 and H2O are the breakdown products of the burning of the cell, too, when they make energy. Interesting.
Keep talking, because you're looking at it, the thing right there as we look just now between iron and calcium and magnesium.
Well, the way I read this is, if you have carbon in your system and you drink water, you can take it out,
because it's going to come out as
two gases, carbon dioxide and hydrogen.
Isn't that what we constantly suffer every day? Are you calling it what?
Yeah,
indigestion?
Yeah. So indigestion is caused by too much carbon.
Tell me more. You're a carbon-based organism. And we go and buy Mr. Diet Pepsi and Mr. Light Straw.
That's from drinking water?
You can get it from there, too. Yeah.
Well, that would be a little different reaction, but essentially you'd have carbon dioxide, you'd have carbon reacting with water, and that's going to create gas in the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the other one was NO2 and water? Or NO2...
Nitrous oxide is what? What's the combination of nitrous oxide?
NO2.
It's an NO2 or an N2O?
NO2, you said, I believe. I would say it's probably NO2.
Nitrogen.
What have we got, Mr. Hugo?
Maybe it's just
NO. I'm guessing on NO2. I think I saw it someplace.
What's
like
the
that.
Charge on it? On nitrogen.
It's interesting. It's a laughing gas. Adana once said that it was preferable for dental work because it was non-toxic. Something important about that nitrous oxide.
I'm not going to give you the answer until you make an attempt to analyze it yourself.
Well, but without a chart, I was trying to say what the balance is on there.
You see, it's easy to pump knowledge into your head and sit down and let you repeat it. Until you learn how to analyze, you're not going to get the benefit of the process of learning how to use the knowledge. So that's why I'm asking you this.
If we had a periodic table, we could look at it.
That's what the periodic table is for. That's why it's class 2. It's not a generalized class. It's based on people who have some fundamental knowledge in chemistry to help them to analyze timing. It's if you're eating by the growth cycle, fine. But then you start to get into more detailed, finer understanding, you must study chemistry to some extent. And most people say, why don't you teach class 2, 3, and 4? I said, are you prepared to handle it? If you're not prepared, we're going to teach it. First, get the basic things so you can understand what you're doing and don't get lost in it. So class 1 and class workshop 1 and workshop 2 are very, very important to laying the foundation of being a healthy body. But if you're not in the chemistry as a fine, I can understand it, but workshop 1 will give you enough data to make you functional in your health, that you can take care of it. Where you want to know a little more of the chemistry, how it integrates, and that's a very important part, because that's what the chemistry is for. That's what the doctor is going to throw it back at you. Hey, you know so much, then he starts using his chemistry, and you can't answer him in his chemistry and shut him up. He look at you like a quack. When you shut him up with his own chemistry,
yeah,
then you're no quack. You know something that he don't know, and he wants to find out pretty fast, but why he ain't getting results.
So, while we're waiting for that, can you explain about this ingestion again? Too much carbon? If you eat food that has too much carbon in it and drink water, is that true? You're going to get gas? Yes, you're going to have carbon dioxide.
In fact, what you're doing, there's a time lag. In fact, this is what it is. It's the time lag on the breakdown, because obviously CO2 and H2O work together in both sugars and fats and even in proteins, except they're with nitrogen and protein is the only
thing. They have to be with nitrogen and the protein.
So if they break down incorrectly, you're going to get both of them opposed, which makes excess gas, and it must be eliminated. That's why they say one way to change the acid bloodstream to alkaline, if you haven't eaten protein, at least according to this, is lots of deep breathing, which will automatically release the carbonic acid into carbon dioxide and bring it out the lungs, which is why the breathing is so important. So you would be getting, if you're obviously getting rid of the carbon dioxide, then you've just got water left and you're not going to have the gas.
Now, if I'd given this young lady something to drink yesterday when she told me of her aches and pains, and didn't do anything else, it'll take a long time for her to release that gas. But she couldn't understand why I'm asking her to yawn. And in the process of a few minutes, the yawning is automatically doing what the whole pile of medicine would take several hours to do. But what did we get out when you yawn? We got out what would take the medicine X amount of hours to accomplish of pushing carbon dioxide out of the system, which the body could not push out on its own due to the trauma. But her body, over that long period of time, made her very sleepy, very self-conscious of being inefficient and sore, and she would yawn but think it's very embarrassing at times. I would try to shut it out. But in a therapeutic session, there's no time to be embarrassed, it's a time to get well. And you can't explain all the data to the person, because it's not that type of an encounter. Is when you want to know more of your health, then you're going to go into the finer details. But basically, is to get that gas out quick out of the body, otherwise she will break down under the accumulation and retention of the gas. And that's what most of us die from. We don't die from the clogging up of the system by the minerals. We don't die from the bacteria eating away our tissue, or the viruses that is interfacing. We die from the what?
From a potato in the exhaust pipe. Blow your engine out.
Right, exactly. That's what you really die from. Inability to eliminate the carbon dioxide on time. You blew your own gasket out that way. That's a charcoal.
I'm sorry, charcoal.
Yeah,
is that a problem because of that?
Well, charcoal is an adsorptor. Mm-hmm. And it would adsorb to gas. No, it's not an absorber. And most people don't understand what is the difference between adsorb and absorb. I'm going to let Mr.
Well, absorb is a process of assimilation, where it's taking something within it, and adsorb is where it's being added to the to it, and therefore it takes it out, like a sponge, I guess would be adsorption.
You know, you got some idea, but it's not. Let me explain.
I know you can get 10 times in adsorption. You get 10 times as much.
If
as
I sent you to the gas station with 2 gallon pots to buy some gasoline for me, and in 1 gallon pot I put some crushed up charcoal, and the other one I left it empty, and ask you to fill both bottles and bring them back. Before you leave, what would you think? And I hand you the 2 bottles, knowing they're only going to mark 1 gallon each. Would you say that you're going to return with 2 gallons of gas?
That's what you would assume.
They one heavier than the other when they're empty. I probably took it out because I think it has something in carbon one. So, like logically, you couldn't come back with 2 gallons of gas because one's taking up a certain amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
So, carbon,
so
gas,
you would almost think that the ones with the carbon in would have a little less gases, would you think?
Yeah.
Good. That would
That's
be normal
what I would
to
think.
S- right. Okay. But if when you went to fill the 2 bottles, and the one that didn't have the carbon in it filled right up a full gallon, but when you start to fill up the other one, after 9 gallons, it's still not filled. What are you going to do?
Well, I continue filling. Oh, it's still not full after 9 gallons, and I was only
going to
get 2 gallons.
It's a 1 gallon can. You put
9 gallons.
Two 1 gallon
can.
No, but the one you filled up was 1 gallon. Now
but
you're on
the
second
one,
and you keep putting
in
your
carbon. I thought
putting
I could not able to fill up because it had carbon in it, and I found out I put 9 gallons in,
and you're
still
filling.
Can't fill it up. Well, I wonder how it's going to pay for the bill. well, I would stop. Look in.
But if you do fill it, and it took
I would begin to think that I couldn't fill it down.
No, but if you do fill it, and you look at the bill, and realize that it's not possible that that bottle could have taken 10 gallons of gas to fill it, whereas the other bottle took its full gallon to fill, what would you say to me when you came back?
I'd say, surprise. I would say, Adano, how could this be so? What does carbon do? Absorb?
No.
Adsorb.
That's adsorb. That's your first encounter with adsorption, not absorption.
Adsorption?
Yeah, add. A-D-D.
Adsorption.
So how many gallons did you add to the 1 gallon bottle before you finally...
10 gallons.
Good. So you added 9 gallons more.
Right.
So you were paying, instead of paying for 2 gallons of gas, which you expected to pay for in the first place, you ended up paying for 11 gallons of gas. That would really freak out your brain.
True.
And that is exactly what charcoal is capable of doing in taking carbon dioxide out of the system. It's an adsorber. It will absorb 10 times its weight in carbon dioxide before, and therefore it's a benefit to the body. No. The most natural form of charcoal is a carbon base, and any food that can be reduced to charcoal level would be an ideal way of eating. So years ago when somebody says, Adano, you should eat Greek toast once a month. I says, what? Greek toast once a month, you're too overweight. And so when I found out what Greek toast, I laugh. Most people don't know what absorbs gas, pulls it out of your system. But most people don't like the taste of it because it's very, very bitter. So what they do today now, they make the very same thing, sell it in little capsules and tell you to swallow it.
Yeah, this is the question. They analyzed the toast and found out that the charcoal did not absorb as well as the toast did not. But what they were doing was analyzing the black and not the brown, is
that's
what you're
right,
saying.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Because that would be the obvious. That's what I would have thought too if I was going to do the experiment. I'd take the black part and take. Okay.
Well, but this is what they do, see? And that's what we used to call Greek toast. It's an absorption process. No, it doesn't take away minerals. It only take away carbon dioxide. But then again, by the same token, you have a problem. It takes a while to eliminate charcoal out of your system if you are clogged up with melted cheese. So, you have to have fresh green vegetables to get rid of that dried up toast.
To push it out.
For that reason, I stumbled across dextrinization as one of the most natural way to have charcoal without any problems in the colon. So I take a piece of bread and make it into Melba toast. And then this had the capacity to adsorb 1/2 the volume of what the burnt charcoal would do, but at the same time it would not be stuck in the colon having to be moved out by other foods. The dextrinization effect allowed it to be utilized to continue on out of the body. So your Swiss people made a very great contribution in advocating Melba toast for weight loss and gas reduction.
So there's the regeneration part of Shiva, right?
Right.
Well, I make the
charcoal. Well, that is valid. That, yes, and it will bring the gas out and would not allow you to clog up.
And you know, they never consider it. I've got some in a glass jar that I've had for months.
It don't spoil.
Real slow. You know.
Yes, my brother Hugo, have we come to the...
Well, I can't find the chart, but looking at the one I have here, I'm going to say that nitrous oxide is just NO.
NO.
Right. They both have the same basic number of electrons in their outer ring.
Therefore, CO2 or C2O would be more of an ideal.
No, CO2.
Good. It's more ideal to phase on H2O.
What do you want to phase down H2O for?
In other words, if you want to... Well, when you add water into your body with carbon, you're eliminating... You're getting rid of both water and carbon. So when you put water in to phase out your carbon, you're eliminating both water and carbon. Because you're eliminating both as gases. Okay, and if you take water with, okay, you want to eliminate laughing gas, okay, so you'd have NO. And then you want to do it with water. Well, what you'd have to do that is, you'd have to be in a pressure chamber, breathing a mixture of gases that was high in nitrogen, and that's what you'd do to a diver that has the bends. You would put him under pressure and have him breathe a mixture of gas that was nitrogen, and then he would be eliminating, he'd be laughing, and that's why Rapture of the Deep, the people laugh so much under the water and take the mouthpiece out, I think.
Rapture
of the Deep is where they lose control, they start laughing and everything. And that's because they're breathing nitrogen under pressure.
But you do that when somebody tickles you.
Oh, when somebody tickles you.
So you see, you don't have to wait to get under the water to have the same identical phenomenon.
So when someone tickles you, you're eliminating nitrous oxide?
That's right.
But what does the nitrous oxide come from? Too much nitrogen food? Because you're breathing in nitrogen in the air.
Yes.
So you're intaking this normally.
Yes.
Why would you want to eliminate something that can that build up too?
If you are traumatized and you walk around in the huffy puffy peacock attitude, soured off of the world, you're nitrogenously very, very dangerous to yourself, which will eventually lead you to do what with a knife if you get angry.
Suicide?
Yes. Not murder. You may tend to be self-destructive. Yes.
Well, how do you get too high in nitrogen? You're just breathing the air.
Have you ever been around people who are depressed because they didn't get their way?
Uh-huh.
You ever see how they move their hands?
Do you ever see how they move their hands? Mm-hmm. How do they move their hands?
You never observe?
Mm-hmm. No, I never saw them.
Never saw them.
Where did you get?
Yes. Any time a patient walk into my clinic with this movement, I know they're bordering on suicidal tendencies. They're already going through the mea culpa.
They're going through the what?
It's a joke. Mea culpa, take me, Lord. I don't want to hang around here. Take me, Lord. You know what mea culpa is?
Yeah, it means my fault.
Mm-hmm. That's why we call it the mea culpa syndrome. We get so depressed of being so guilty for something that we may not even want to admit is not our fault, but we want to be martyred into it, to believe it's our fault and let somebody do what?
Say that again, you lost me.
You ever feel guilty for something that you think you did and you really didn't do it?
That other people make you feel guilty?
Mm-hmm.
For?
And yeah. You end up wanting to what? Not face them, but do what to yourself? Not even face yourself. You always hear them say, I wish I could die. I wish I could what?
Die?
Yeah, tell me more. You're always going to feel you're inferior,
mm-hmm,
to the point where you never can feel you can forgive yourself for making a mistake or being forced to make a mistake.
Some people will say, I felt so embarrassed I could have died.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that's nitrogenous action doing that, not carbon dioxide doing that.
Nitrogen. So how do you correct it?
No. Oxygen gives you what?
Consciousness.
Hydrogen gives you what in your body?
No, yeah, that is the power. Hydrogen is the power. The will comes from the nitrogen.
Hydrogen gives you the desire to
desire.
Act.
Okay, and the nitrogen gives you the willpower.
No. So if you don't have the what to live?
The will.
The will to live? You have no nitrogen? That's saying you have too much nitrogen.
So a little of anything is medicine for the system. Too much is what?
Toxic.
No.
Too much will, so you're trying to live too well, or too completely, or
good.
too, you...
Keep talking.
I know the,
You okay. never could do wrong.
Exactly.
And you always did wrong. Pick your choice now. Which are the two ultimates of the perfection in your head? You are so perfect that you never did wrong. You're so perfect that you... Why should you have done wrong? The nitrogen will do that to you. And you'll find those individuals who are overloaded with the nitrogen cannot do this.
Hmm.
You like that?
Can't smile or touch it a bit.
No, you tickle them. You come close to them in the first place, they don't want you to come touch them. And they don't even want you to hug them. They feel so what? Unworthy. Not unworthy.
What do they feel?
Unworthy.
Unworthy.
Not unworthy.
Word.
Unworthy?
I don't understand.
Unworthy.
You're familiar with UNWORTHY. I am telling you of UNWORDY.
Unworthy.
That's what they feel, calling it WORTHY. UNW. They're feeling unworthy, calling that sensation unworthy. And I know doggone well, they ain't on WORTHY. They are suffering from WORDY. UNWORDY.
No, they can't communicate.
They can't communicate. They're on right. The guilt symptom locked them in. The natural has got them locked in where? In their thyroid areas. The will to live away is where your volition is located. It's located in your throat.
So if you feel like you can't sleep, it's the thyroid.
I saw some stick somewhere. I didn't have the nose.
Up the nose?
Where do you find iodine? In the ocean or what? Mostly.
In the ocean.
What do people get when they get to over...
They get nitrogen narcosis or rapture of the deep.
They never get in the sky. They always get
right.
in the water.
Hmm.
So
and
push
what happens
a,
to them?
Push a piece of what in their mouth, and what would happen to them?
Something salty? No.
Rapture is a what? A gigglish
reaction.
Stick a piece of iodine in them. What would happen to them?
They stop giggling.
You bet they would. Iodine.
So are you saying it's good to tickle them or not tickle them?
If they're above, I would tickle them, break their so-called unworthiness, not unworthiness, and they start to what?
They start laughing.
They'll start laughing at me, but then they will tell Adana to go piss off with all kind of vulgar language, and then I'm laughing at the worthiness of them becoming worthy now for the first time. You know, somebody not too long ago walked up to me after they graduated, at diploma.
Mm.
And you know, the top, I said, I hate to be fucking pushing up your nose.
Is that all she said?
Yeah, that's what she said.
She didn't say push it
up your rear up.
She did say
yeah.
up your ass.
4 years. I said, would you like to be where you were 4 years ago? She says, no, but I'm thankful. But I still want to. That was her comment to me 4 years ago when I said to her, you can't be of a value to yourself if you keep talking but not doing anything about it. You're either going to finish the school or don't talk to me, don't call me on the phone. And many a times Adana, look, stick it out, you'll get it. And after 4 years of doing this study, she invited me to the day of the graduation. And I went there, and I'm sitting in the chair, and she went up to get her diploma. And she's walking along with her children, and she comes right up and in front of everybody. And I laughed. But that was her way to release her frustration. And then she started laughing out about the whole thing. But there she killed herself. The fact that she stuck it out and got through and could look at herself and laugh, not feel threatened or suppressed in the world around her, she was healthy again. Prior to that, she was always in this outlook. Now, if you tickle that person, literally, they'll yell and swear and everything, but they'll get well. But we don't realize that. And we can't do those type of therapies too fast on people. So we think of the next best thing, put them in a jacuzzi bath. So the water hits them and then they start playing. But you try and get somebody who is tendency to suicidal, they don't even like to be near water, let alone to tickle them and release their pressure. But as soon as you get them to release and laugh, they feel healthy and alive for the first time. They didn't know why. It took them so long to get there. But that's what we've discovered in the process. So my contention in nutrition is knowing the chemicals, the 12 basic, and knowing the 4 gases, and knowing to what time of the day they're assigned, this becomes important to us. Now let's line them up. The first gas we have is hydrogen, right? What time of the day you think you'll find hydrogen on your chart?
6 to 9 in the morning.
6. So put it in your chart. Why you need hydrogen when you get up in the morning?
Hydrochloric acid.
Hydrochloric acid. Marvelous. Hydrochloric acid. But hydrogen does what phenomena to you psychologically? What does it generate in you psychologically?
Will.
No, desire.
Desire.
It generates the craving to move.
So without it, you wouldn't get up, right?
Exactly. And that's the craving that tends to feel like wanting to eat. But then again, you may feel so clogged up and toxic, you don't want to eat.
You don't want to eat, yeah.
Right. Now, what would feed down that hydrogen that you don't want to eat? When basically your craving of is to eat naturally, hydrogen is the normal oxygen, the main chemical gas is supposed to be activated at that time of day to activate the hydrochloric acid in your body.
Okay, it would have to be an alkaline. Mm-hmm. Because hydrochloric acid, I think if my reasoning is right, something alkaline would have happened during that. Now, that's right, because during the night you tend to turn acid.
Keep talking. The frustration through our own mistakes and the understanding to cope with it. That's why we want to be let out of it. Not away from, to avoid it. That's not going to make us healthy or strong. But to be able to work through it and deliver us from evil. Now, if you spell the word evil backwards, you got the whole context of what you want to be delivered from. The inability to live correctly. That's what you want to be delivered from. You want to be able to live correctly by facing your confrontations moment to moment. And the moment you can cope with living and not fear it from avoiding it, then that's the power and the glory, that's the actual kinesis, that's the actual transmutation occurring right there and now. You are living in the state of total health, a holistic health, a holistic realization. The living model would be the person's body in the end, because they're intoning this repetitiously. The Tibetans went one step further than Western men. They did something like this. That's prayer unceasingly, because they made a prayer wheel to go around. In case that, hi there, you want some apples? You want some fish? They're doing business, but in the meantime, they're doing what?
The prayer.
The prayer, okay. So today we got what? Rosaries and still telling. Here's a nice version of the Holy Commandments, a nice version of the Psalms. And I've seen that where monks and nuns keep going doing the thing that they're telling, because why? Wouldn't be practical just to stay in one spot. So they have updated themselves. But the basic principle behind it is repetition. To get to the frequency where the delta wave will hold, so that the body will pull in the resonance of those atoms.
So in our technological age, like the prayer wheel, you had to do so many to get a result. Now we can put it on a computer and speed it out in a microsecond or something.
Great. So we are moving to that direction where we will transform ourselves consciously for the first time. And that's nothing wrong with it. It makes us more aware of the unified field and the joy of serving in the unified field, instead of being afraid of it. So those are the 12 basic minerals within the time clock. And now to look at some foods that will match it. If things grow above the ground, on the ground, and below the ground, and they follow the clock, you will see the biggest bulk of your minerals are taken in when? From what time of day you have the biggest consumption of minerals?
In
12 to 6.
In weight, you're talking about. 12 to 6, let's see. I wonder if it isn't at night.
Look at your clock.
Oh, I see. Okay. You're talking not weight, but how many of
quantity? 12 basic minerals, yeah. The largest quantity brought in within the light cycle
middle of the day.
Is in the middle of the day. The rest are smaller quantities. That doesn't say you're not getting the others in the morning, but they are not coming in large quantities. They're coming in higher potencies.
But in terms of weight, they still are the heaviest. Between 12 and 6.
I mean, the Malka's roots have lots of minerals in it.
Yes, all right. Listen to what you're saying.
Seaweeds have more minerals in it.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. We got to move on.
Can you maybe
think
about coming Tuesday?
Yes, I'll be here Tuesday. Can you come
and meet me? You know what you can do is if something happens and you can't, let me know.
Arrange with them and we'll get how to get the thing. So we'll come. We'll be glad to come.
Right. And whatever tofu we'd like to get from you.
Okay.
And we can get it then?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, they'll be glad to.
Do you have helium then?
Yeah, we had to have helium to do it.
Oh, to what? The water? To rise.
You can't perform miracles by imagination in this universe.
Is it going?
Yep. That's
and
what.
Things, it's the work of God by having a something for nothing fact. It's not valid.
Any Gary Giller
unexplainable
phenomenon. Have you seen that?
For the layman.
Missed what?
At the layman's level, temporarily would be acceptable. At a later date,
is not acceptable under the terms of the description. The human mind, being the creative consciousness, doesn't allow itself to continue to be in a state of ignorance as to the actual mechanics. For a long time it will put up with the ignorance, like four fingers on a hand. But then the exception to the rule is the one thumb that breaks away from the mold of labeling the phenomena out of the range of comprehension. Demonstrate the phenomena.